Welcome to Commander Central, episode 44. Today we are going to begin a new series that we'll revisit from time to time that we are calling Across the Multiverse. This is where we check in on sets and planes from Magic's past and talk about their influence on EDH. Insert joke here, which means I didn't write a joke for my intro. So that's professional.
There's a joke on mine.
I was curious where you were going with this.
I updated mine and I'm like, I need to fix that because it's not good. And I didn't put one in. So I guess we'll just leave it.
You talk about unstable in our copy of the notes.
That was my first one. I'm like, no, I didn't like it. So I'm going to change it. I'll just fix that later and never did. So
there's our joke.
That's the level of professionalism I bring to this podcast. Anyway, I'm Dana.
I'm Max.
And I'm Chris.
And I don't write jokes in my notes like I should. How's everybody doing today?
Pretty good.
Can't complain.
Except for you just were. You were just complaining about your back.
I know. It's sore.
From having to carry my lack of joke writing on this podcast. I hurt your back.
Apparently
you.
I'm not carrying it very good because I didn't have a joke to insert there.
I'll have to hit you up next time. Like, Chris, do my work for me. Put a joke in the intro of the podcast. So, any fun games worth talking about from anybody this week? Any cool games you played? I have one I will mention. I went on Friday night to play with my doctor friends, Steve and Mike. And I don't know how this started happening. So we usually listen to music when we're playing Magic there. And somehow, intentionally, it wasn't even an accident. Intentionally, we turned on Insane Clown Posse while we were playing Magic. And I don't know why that happened. I think it was partially because they both were well into their, you know, like third or fourth beer of the night. And
Pause. Their beer is not beer.
I don't think they were drinking Rolling Rock that night. I think It was something else. I don't remember though. Anyway, and I was, so it came up that we started listening to Insane Clown Posse, which I would highly recommend doing that when you've had a few beers and you're playing Magic. Because just randomly in the middle of a game when you're playing, you'll just hear like lyrics spill out like someone just rhymed crib death with bad breath in a song. And then everyone stops and goes, what was that? So, yeah, I would recommend the experience of trying a little bit of ICP when you play Magic. Not that it's good, just because it will throw a monkey in the wrench and kind of catch you off guard when you're playing.
Dana's just trying to reach a new demographic for our podcast.
This is my attempt to reach out to the ICP nation.
Oh, boy.
So, yeah, ICP playing Magic, that's a thing that actually happened. So, and then at one point, Dr. Mike was talking about how he needed to find a quote for, like, his picture at the doctor's office, you know, where he works at. It's supposed to be some kind of inspirational quote, and we're trying to, like, is there anything on here you can use?
I got it. Land for turn.
Right. Like, magnets, how do they work? That was one of the ones we were coming up with because inspired by ICP, but I don't know if we're going to use Insane Clown Posse for his quote at the doctor's office. So anything else from you guys?
Nope.
Not really.
Max didn't play a lot of games.
Nope. Played a couple last week. Played a couple in SCG Minneapolis. We talked about that last couple weeks ago, though, on the show.
Yeah. So, because this will air after Vegas.
Yes.
But we will not have recorded it. We're recording it before Vegas, so
we got in the time machine.
Right. So next week's show, we're just going to have a gazillion things to talk about because we're going to jam.
It might just be a Grand Prix Vegas.
I was actually thinking about like setting a ridiculous goal for myself to like play 50 games at GP Vegas. I was thinking about, I might try to do that.
Well, we're there for a week. It's probably doable.
We're there for a week, but like it's only, I don't know if we're going to have many chances to play the first couple days.
Oh no, we're going to stay way at the pool and,
so I don't know, because like
Max is going to pick up a lady.
Right.
Of the night.
We won't talk about that.
Funny part is, my coworker, I messaged him like, you go to Vegas like a couple times a year for work. He goes, yeah. I said, I'm going there for the first time. Where should we eat? And he's like, blah, 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 blah. These are great places for, you know, a couple people here. Good places for groups. The best prostitutes hang out at the MGM Grand. And I'm like, didn't need to know that, but I think we're like a block away from them, so thanks.
Like my wife made the comment, because somebody made some joke to her about me being in Vegas and, you know, if I was going to go to the Bunny Ranch. And she's like, honestly, I think he'd rather just play Magic in Vegas. And I'm like, yeah, I probably am. I'm like, you are not wrong.
Same here.
So I think I'm going to try to do 50 games in the days we're there. So I mean, I will bring like some kind of a do some kind of Twitter countdown whenever I knock one off or something. See if I can get to 50.
It also helps that we're staying with the EDH rec crew,
right? Like we're gonna
so we're not gonna sleep for 3 days.
Those are gonna be some late nights. I am hoping I survive.
I really hope Red Bulls are like 2 for 6 like they are here in Vegas, because I'm gonna need a lot of them.
Yeah. So
I hear you get Bloody Marys for free in the morning though.
Okay. Nice. I'm okay with that.
And then also, well, and also we're going to have to throw down with the Atraxa Bowl against CCO, and that's going to be like at least a 4 or 5 minute game. Probably take those guys out. So that'll take a lot out of me as well.
Do we win if we just eliminate them and not worry about the 6 other people in the game?
I'm content if we just eliminate them. I think the rest of it, I don't care. I think if we get to knock them out of the game, I think that'll be fine.
Okay.
But like, they'll be playing with their cards upside down, facing us. You know, it'll be just a train wreck. So it won't really be so much a victory as putting them out of their misery. It's like the end of Old Yeller, where the dog's crippled. We'll just be, we'll be putting CCO down. It'll be sad, but like, you know, it has to get done.
God, we better win.
For insurance purposes, Chris is not part of this conversation.
Okay,
tune in for episode 45 where it's just Chris.
Exactly. Right, as we've been buried in the desert in Vegas. How about social media, speaking of talking trash?
We heard from Leighton Villanueva. Said, really glad I found you guys. Your content is great and hope to see your channel grow further.
Nice.
Well,
thank you very much.
Yep.
We also had a couple comments on iTunes that finally like went over the top of the previous one. It was like, this is a podcast that exists. Thank you.
The first one was, this is a podcast. It's not great.
Right.
3 stars. I'm like, 3 stars. I'll take it.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
It's passing.
Because it's like the first 2 or 3 weeks we had the show too. So I'm like, all right, well, early on, I'll take that. So we finally had a few iTunes comments. We appreciate anyone who wants to give us feedback there and mash that like button and subscribe and do all those fun things. Chris, why don't you let them know where they can find us at online?
Online, yeah.
On the internets. The interwebs.
The interwebs. So, I got to tell you this. I hate to do this right now, but speaking of the interweb, I was having a talk with my goddaughter, and she's always on her phone playing around. She's like, yeah, internet's awesome. I'm like, when I was growing up, the internet was like, beep, beep, and then it would crash. And she didn't understand it.
She had no idea what like, you were even referencing.
No.
I remember that. I grew up having dial-up. I remember getting the internet. It was like the family Christmas present 1 year. Is that, here's the AOL starter disk.
You got the internet for Christmas. That's awesome. It was
and
in
then,
your stocking.
Like 2 weeks later, my parents finally realized like, oh, we need a separate phone line for the computer because
if anyone ever calls, it just crashes.
But yeah, I remember getting that AOL starter disk as the family Christmas present. Like, we bought the internet. I wish it was that literal, because I would love to own the internet.
And now you have the entire internet at your fingertips at any time possible.
Or on your watch, or on
everything.
Anything.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, and it makes it real easy to, you know, get a hold of us on these multiple sources like Twitter at CMDR Central, Facebook search CMDR Central, YouTube. The YouTube, CMDR Central.
Yum, YouTube.
And online at CMDRCentral.com.
And we are on Patreon by searching CMDRCentral.com. Head over there, check out some of our rewards, and help support the show if you are so kind. We would greatly appreciate it.
There's also the ongoing contest we announced last week, so make sure you sign up for that, whether it's on Twitter or by becoming a Patreon supporter of ours. You can also find us on Flipside Gaming.
Yes, Flipside Gaming is our new home. You can find us there, as well as if you use the promo code CMDR when you check out, you are going to get 10% off your entire order, as long as it's $10 or more. And of course, that helps support the show as well. So we appreciate anybody who does their shopping through FlipsideGaming.com.
Yes, thank you very much. It goes a long way to keeping the lights on here. All right, so shall we talk about today's journey through the multiverse here?
I'm ready.
What are we going to do first? Because all I have here on my notes is insert show topic here. So I haven't figured out what we're going to do yet.
I thought we were talking about Kamigawa, the greatest plane ever.
The greatest plane ever. If you follow Mark Rosewater in anything, all he gets is requests from people for Kamigawa.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. Like, that's half of the things he gets are about Kamigawa. And I can't tell if people trolling him or if it's just the 10 really crazy Kamigawa people won't leave him alone.
No, I know certain cards in there are awesome, but the block itself sucked.
Yes. I agree with both of those things.
No. But for real, we are talking about Ravnica.
Oh, geez. I didn't get a vote on this, did I? Max just trumped me out, didn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah.
He was so excited. He just kept messaging.
I love Ravnica. It's my favorite.
I know. That's why I'm trolling you.
And because we're going back to Ravnica.
For three straight sets.
Yikes. Okay. I'm not a fan of that.
Which are all large sets. Not even like one of them's a small set. These are three large sets.
I hope that just means the Ravnica is going to finally die.
Well, the first two, we got specific information. Like, one's the Guilds of Ravnica and one's...
Alliances or
yeah,
something.
Like
Allegiance
that.
Or something like
and
that.
And we're getting... So we'll get, like, five guilds in one, five on the other. But the last one they didn't give us the name for, nor any specifics for it. So that could easily be, like, the Cataclysm of Ravnica. I mean, it could
War
be...
War of Ravnica.
Right, something's blowing up. So so if you don't like Ravnica, you might also like the entire year of 2019 that's going to be the year of Ravnica.
2019.
I guess it's half of 2018 because we get the fall set this year.
A year and a half of Ravnica.
Yeah. So
it shouldn't be bad. I think it'll be good for standard.
Yeah.
I hope so.
The Ravnica blocks were pretty fun.
Both
for the
of them were very good and a lot of fun in Commander as well. So let's talk about them. So we had three sets originally. Ravnica back in 2005, 2006, which were Ravnica City of Guilds, Guild Pack, and Dissension. And then in 2012. We had Return to Ravnica, Gatecrash, and Dragon's Maze in 2013. So we've had six Ravnica sets so far.
So does this seem like a trend to me? You said 2006, 2012, and now 2018?
So every six years? Everyone who's complaining about like it being too soon, this is roughly the interval between the first two sets as well.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. Every 6 years? I mean, it doesn't seem that long because we get a set every 3 or 4 months.
Right.
But 6 years is a long time.
Particularly for a set with this or a world with as much going on as Ravnica has. I mean, there's a lot there going on. There's a lot to work with. I am looking forward to seeing it again. So on a, like a really generic level, what do you like about the Ravnica block? And I'll ask Max first because it's your favorite plane.
Yes. So I have mentioned this before on the show that I tend to build a lot of two-color decks. And granted, I started playing Nerd Around Return to Ravnica. I started writing like Avacyn Restored, Dark Ascension, but Return to Ravnica block was the block where I started really getting deep into Commander and Magic in general, so building two-color decks is kind of my forte, and Ravnica just lent itself to that as a new player to Magic. You had the Shocklands, you have all the guilds, so you kind of already have a... I'm going to build Selesnya. I already have kind of build paths to go down with either tokens or... life gain, so it kind of was a good introductory for a new Commander player to say, I want to play these two colors, they already do these two things really well, and that's what I'm going to focus on.
How about you, Chris? What do you like it for?
I really don't know. I like the multicolor aspect. It's probably the biggest thing I like because it brings a lot of stuff to the game.
Okay. I agree with both of those things. The thing I like about Ravnica, one of them, the guilds especially, even as a new player, relatively new player, coming back to the game roughly around the Return to Ravnica block, really right away I knew what each guild was about. Like I just, from playing the cards and like doing a few pre-releases and looking at a few things, you just know what the Boros Legion is. You just know what Simic's about. You just know what Golgari's about. And even having played through the entire cons block, I still don't have a particularly good understanding of the five...
The five clans
from the enemy color wedges, I guess those are, right? I still don't entirely understand what their deal was. But, man, those guilds, like, really pop. I know what every one of them is. And
Azorius is the worst.
Shots fired! Pew, pew!
Have a good night, everybody.
Max is out.
Rakdos is the best. Woohoo!
No.
I have to get a Rakdos tattoo now that matches Max's Azorius tattoo.
Chris can't get a tattoo.
Right,
we've been
can't.
Over this.
Yeah.
If I totally could, I would have like the Rakdos, like a guy with a Rakdos tattoo on his arm, like slaughtering a guy with an Azorius tattoo.
It'd be Havoc Festival, but with a Rakdos tattoo on it.
The other thing I like about that, I mentioned cons, but one of the problems with the cons block, for me at least, is there were so many three-color cards in there, and if you weren't playing that particular three-color wedge or a five-color deck, they don't do you any good. Whereas with so many guild two-color pairs in Ravnica, number one, the cards just will, you know, hopefully the Golgari cards fit your Golgari deck, but if you're playing, you know, some kind of a three-color combo, then you have three different guilds that could be kicking you cards for your deck. So just the way the colors pairings work, it tends to create a lot of EDH cards that fit in a lot of decks.
Easily.
Yep.
And then you also get things, too, because you're pairing colors together, so you get them making these cards that have, like, a white ability, like Azorius, like Supreme Verdict. So you get it being uncounterable, and you get a board wipe all in one card.
For four mana.
So you kind of get some really strong cards, too. At least the first two times we've been to Ravnica, we've gotten really strong cards as well, I think, because of that. Because you're doing a lot of multicolor cards, so you're putting strong things from different colors together.
Yeah. Very true.
So that's what I like about it. So let's talk about the unique things that Ravnica has added to kind of the canon of EDH over the years. So the first thing I'll mention, maybe you can talk about a little bit, is 20 unique keywords. That's like between two sets, that's every guild without a unique keyword. So 20 of them, and I imagine we'll get 10 more this time around. Now, some of them are pretty forgettable, but some of them are like big time.
I was going to say, I can only think of two of them off the top of my head, and I actually have written down.
I could think, when I was making my notes, I could think of four.
I think of another one.
So which ones?
Transmute. Yes, I love that
which
one.
Which was from the original Ravnica block.
Overload.
That's one that just popped in my head. Dredge. Because I actually play Dredge in Legacy, so.
So let's hold on for a second and discuss those three.
Okay.
And those are probably the three most worth discussing, because they pop up all over the place, including Commander.
Yep.
So Dredge is a whole deal. There's multiple different Dredge decks in different formats as well. As a keyword, basically, it lets you, if a card has Dredge, how does it work? Why don't you tell us, Chris?
Dredge works basically, what happens is you're skipping your draw phase, and instead of drawing, you're returning the card with the keyword Dredge from your graveyard to your hand. Now, it has a certain number of Dredge. So let's say it's a Golgari Grave Troll, which I do believe is a Dredge 6. So what you do is you mill the top six cards of your library into your graveyard to return the card with Dredge from your graveyard to your hand.
So as a new player, I remember seeing Dredge and being not at all interested in it. and I think also, they made Dredge backwards. I think they also thought Dredge was like a negative.
Oh, no. It is so good.
Right, but I think that's why the Golgari Grave Troll has Dredge 6 or something, because they're like, oh, we're going to make you pay 6 to get this cool troll back.
The reason they got banned in Modern.
and it's the opposite. Like, I want to pay 6. I want everything to have Dredge 6. I don't want Dredge 2. I want everything to be Dredge 8. And then it's all like Life from the Loam. Like, it's on cards that are just staples. Just
I honestly
period.
Think Life from the Loam is probably the best EDH Dredge card, followed by Daxmoor Salvage. Yeah. I think those are the two best. Too.
And so, Max, you mentioned
Overload,
which was Return to Ravnica.
And mainly the Izzet guild.
Yes.
So Overload is an alternative casting cost to instants and sorceries. So we'll use our favorite Cyclonic Rift.
Which should be
everyone's
banned.
Favorite
which should be banned.
Rift.
It
should
is banned. It's an instant for one in a blue, return target permanent to its owner's hand. Or you can Overload it for 6 in a blue, that magic number 7, return all. Overload essentially says replace the word target with all. So you're now returning all non-land permanents you don't control to their owner's hands.
And you see it on Rift. Vandal Blast gets played an awful lot.
Mizzium Mortars.
Counterflux, which counters all spells on the stack for Overload.
And they reprinted it on a card in the Mizzix deck, the Mizzix Commander Precon, Mizzix Mastery, I believe.
Yes.
Where you can bring a spell back or cast a spell or cast every spell in your graveyard.
It's essentially overloaded flashback.
Right. So it's such a strong mechanic, they've used it since then. And they have a Dredge too. Dredge on Daxmoor Salvage is a mechanic that came back that they put on that in Time Spiral. And the third one you guys mentioned was Transmute, which lets you spend 3 mana. I believe it's different per card, I guess. It's not always 2 blue, because there's black ones with Transmute as well that have a black cost.
Is it always
them.
3 mana? That I can't remember for sure.
I think it's always 3.
I think majority of them are 3. I don't know. I'm thinking about it.
So you you search the library for a card with CMC equal to the card that you transmuted.
Yep.
So that's just a tutor effect that you can use in a lot of different decks.
Which is a phenomenal mechanic, because some of the cards that have transmute on them are playable in their own right without even transmuting.
Muddle the Mixture, for example.
Yep.
Counters, I think, instant or sorceries.
I think it's a Force Spike is what it is, isn't it?
Muddle the Mixture is double blue for a hard cast, counter target instant or sorcery, or you can transmute it for 1 and 2 blue.
So if you spend the 1 and 2 blue, you just go fetch something that costs CMC 2. Like Cyclonic Rift.
I was going to say.
I use it on my Edric deck either for a counter spell or if I don't need it to go grab Biomass Mutation, which is hybrid Simic, so 2 mana.
Yep.
And then X, so I can make my creatures any power and toughness to kill somebody. But the big one I see that uses transmute a lot is Teleria West, which is a land, so you transmute that and go get something that costs zero. So you grab the land you need, or you go grab
a pact, or
a pact, something like anything. That, right? So that gets used a lot in Commander as well. So like those three mechanics, which were the ones you guys mentioned, were basically probably the biggest ones I think we see in Commander.
Extort, I don't think I remember any of the other
Extort
ones.
Extort gets a lot of play. That was in Return to Ravnica. You see a lot of that. But yeah. I think it's mostly because it's on good creatures.
Or good spells in general, yeah. Like permanents.
It also synergizes pretty well with a lot of the black-white life gain commanders.
And Extort's also a mechanic that you can put in a deck that's not running the other color.
Right.
Because it's in the rules text, not
even though it's hybrid black-white for the ability, you can run it mono-black or mono-white.
Yep.
What else we see a little bit of? Convoke. Where you tap creatures to pay the casting cost. And that got reused in M14, I think.
Yep.
Cord, I think it was M15.
M15, okay.
Yep, that's where Cord and...
the white one.
The white one that creates a... Or a
token.
Spirits. And then the red one that deals 4 damage. Yeah, I think it was M15.
So yeah, those are probably the big ones. But there's like 20 different deep... And I would bet... I mean, I would be curious. I should look through my decks. I would bet every one of my decks has one... of these cards that has a Ravnica mechanic in it. I mean, even like there's the occasional Evolve card you'll see with something with Evolve on it. You'll see the occasional, Battalion on Tajik, and Max has a Tajik deck. So like, surprisingly, these cards, a lot of these mechanics do pop up in Commander decks, even if you're not built around it.
Yep.
So let's look at something else that Ravnica added to the canon, Shocklands.
Mm. Pew, pew, pew.
It's pretty tough to get around that. We've had them on both sets, and... they're a part of every format except for maybe Vintage and Legacy.
Yeah, I've seen them
in Legacy. I've seen them in budget Legacy decks.
Death Shadow is starting to see Legacy play, and they're using Shocklands just as an extra way to ping off their life. Yep.
Yeah, they were the first lands after ABUR duels that had the basic land type, so you could fetch them.
Fetchable.
And then nothing else until Shadows, or no, excuse me, Battle for Zendikar.
Battle for Zendikar.
Not true. Future Sight had a fetchable forest.
Yes, that's true. It wasn't a dual land, though. No. But technically, also, there was Murmuring Bosque and Lorwyn that had the forest type as well, and it made three colors, but only one type, whereas these had all of the Ravnica Shocklands have both types.
It was pretty much a dual land reprint with a downside to it.
And is it really that big of a downside in EDH?
Right.
No.
The two life loss is almost meaningless for the most part.
Early game.
I've never seen it really make a difference either way.
And as people that came back and played a lot during Ravnica, we just assume you run Shocklands in every deck because we have Shocklands, so it's not even a question. Now, maybe for some people who are newer to the game, they can't find them like that, but I just forget. I just default. My decks are all running Shocks because I've got multiple Shocks.
Yep.
So do you think they're going to get a reprint? Do you think we'll see them for the third time?
I think we're going to see them in the Ravnica like decks they're building, that supplemental product.
There is that, so they could put them in there.
I don't
think. They're doing one for each guild, so if you pay $29.99 and you get a Sacred Foundry, that pays for almost half your deck.
But those decks are meant to be standard legal, and unless they printed in the standard legal set, then that deck wouldn't be standard legal.
But they're going to have cards from every Ravnica set.
Oh, are they? Okay.
They're like a greatest hits.
Yep.
So if they don't put them in standard, which I really hope they do because reprints are great, and... majority of them are $10 or more.
Some of them are creeping up to the 15 range even. I think Watery Grave is...
Watery Grave, Sacred Foundry,
Stomping
Ground.
Breeding Pool is pretty close, too.
I would be surprised if they aren't in standard, they get put in those battle decks or whatever they're going to call them. Because they're doing one for each guild, so why not be the centerpiece of the deck? You get a Shockland.
I really hope they don't. But if they do, awesome, because I have them all.
Right.
So I don't have to hunt them down for standard decks. They're just like, oh, cool, slide in my originals.
And then everybody who isn't like us and playing on Return to Ravnica can also now get their play sets to be set till the next set in 2025 or whenever the next Ravnica Black one is, assuming it survives.
And for how big Modern is and how much all the companies are supporting Modern, maybe they will.
Yeah.
Just to make, because
keep Wizards the format viable.
Keep it viable for everybody.
Also, I think at this point, the expectation from players is set so high that you get Shocklands and Ravnica that, man, I don't know. I think people will be mad if they don't get them.
If they do it, I really hope they do it as an alternate art. So then each different art holds its still its price value. Yeah. They don't
because
think.
The original Seven City of Guilds art is more expensive than the Return of Ravnica one.
Yep.
So yeah, that would be nice too to see them give that new art so we can it kind of preserves a little bit from the original set. So since we're talking about lands, bounce lands.
Eh.
So we Amulet Titan.
So we have some different opinions on these though. Like Max doesn't like them.
I don't
right?
run a single one.
Do you run any of them in your decks, Chris?
EDH.
Yeah, Commander.
I am thinking EDH, and I think the only one that I do run it in is my Mogus deck.
So for those who don't know, we're talking about the lands that come into play tapped, and you have to bounce a land that you control back to your hand.
The greatest feeling in the world with that card is how many people I call out on it when they do it on
turn two.
Turn
one, or turn two, right.
Yep, and I'm like, you have to discard, and they're like, no. I'm like, count the cards in your hand, and they count them, and they're like, oh. I'm like, yep.
But one thing I do, I kind of agree with Max. I agree that they're slow. I don't love them, but we don't play in the fastest meta in the world. We can usually afford to play a bounce land. And it's kind of nice maybe in Golgari to be able to bounce that Bajuka Bog back to your hand and Bajuka Bog someone again next turn. Or bounce Halimar Depths and like re-scry the top three again.
Okay, I'm going to put this out there and see how you comparative analysis this thing.
Okay.
Now, Myriad Landscape versus a bounce land.
Yep.
They pretty much do the identical same thing. Except for the bounce land comes online faster than Myriad Landscape does.
Yep.
So you like Myriad Landscape over a bounce land?
I like Myriad Landscape when Teferi untaps it the turn I play it. That's fun to do.
But I mean, they're very similar cards except for the bounce land is faster. Because it's a turn faster because this one comes into play tapped. Untaps, then you have to pay two to get two lands that come into play tapped. Whereas the bounce land just untaps next turn and then you play another land.
I think comparing those two isn't a good way to compare the bounce land to another land.
It's the closest one I could come up
with. Yeah, no, I agree. It is the closest. And in that case, I would probably... The bounce land's probably better in the short term. The long term, I can hold that Myriad Landscape for colorless or crack it right away.
Okay.
I look at it as more of a... If I'm taking a turn off by playing this land that comes in tapped, it needs to do something more than just make an extra mana. Myriad Landscape at least fixes me in the decks I play it in.
True.
So like in Boros, it gets me the two planes if I'm heavy in red or vice versa. Where like in Dromoka, where I should probably run the bounce land because it's Selesnya and it ramps me a land, the closest thing I can compare that to is Mirror Pool, and I would rather take a turn off to play Mirror Pool than the bounce land because I don't have to return anything to my hand, and Mirror Pool can copy a spell or copy a creature the next turn if I need it to. Or it still taps for colorless.
Okay. I think I still run one or two of them.
I think you have one in Glissa, don't
I
you?
I do.
And you have one in Edric.
Yep. No, I pulled it out of my Edric.
Okay.
And I think the Glissa deck, the reason there was I'm running a temple and I'm running Bajuka Bog, so it lets me replay something that I can get a trigger off the land if I want to.
Yep.
So I think I like that aspect of them. But they're a great budget land. Like when I was first playing and didn't have a lot of other duels.
Wonderful budget.
I ran them in every one of my decks.
I did too. Like as a new player, I ran them in all my decks. They're a good budget option.
Do we want to discuss the next budget duels?
Sure. Might as well.
The Guildgates.
Love them. Love them over the bounce lands. You know why? I don't have to take something off the battlefield.
Run Guildgates in all your decks.
Just run New Moon and they all come in untapped.
I wonder if...
No, they do not. We looked at this up.
Really?
The only lands that do is your shock lands because it's an additional activated ability type of deal.
And it goes
where
away.
It reads that you can either have it pay two life to have it come in tapped
or
not. But cards that read that they automatically always come into play tapped still off of the Blood Sun.
Oh, gotcha. All right.
Which what you were talking about,
I
correct?
Was. You knew what I was talking about.
We just went over this the other night. So,
Gilgates are a perfectly good beginner land if you're starting to play Magic and you need to run some fixing and you don't have better options.
Yep.
I think there are better options in that card pool of budget duels.
Well, all the Zendikar ones that gain you a life
are the cons
ones. Yeah, which
they keep
reprinting, that kind of stuff. Yep.
Because there's a couple cards that care about gates, but not
Mesa
many
Zend.
That matter. Mesa's End, I guess. Right. Which is a win condition.
I run the Guild Gate in my Mogus deck for one reason only, and it's because it's foil.
Yeah, you've got
it's
a
the
foil
only reason.
On it.
It's like, oh, cool. Let's put another dual land in here. I'm like, oh, this one's foil going in.
Nice.
Well, there's also one more cycle of lands in Ravnica. There's the Guild Halls. There was 10 different ones. The three I made notes of here that are worth it is I see Sun Home, Fortress of the Legion once in a while, because I believe that gives double strike.
And Vigilance?
And Vigilance.
Haste and something.
I always confuse that one and...
The other one.
The other, right, yeah. The other red-white one. That was a
Sun Home, Fortress of the Legion, for two and Boros, target creature gains double strike until end of turn. The other one you're thinking of gives them first strike and haste.
Okay.
Or Vigilance and haste.
Yep.
But double strike for four mana on a land, that's not nothing in Boros. That's all
no,
right.
No, it's not.
Skarg the Rage Pits gives, I believe, a creature +1/+0 and trample, I think.
Keswick Wolf Run's better, but yes. That's not better. In the same set. So. Yep.
And then there's Novigen, Heart of Progress, that you can test a green and a tap, and you put counters on stuff, I believe. It interacts with counters somehow. And so if you're in Simic and playing counters, that one's decent.
Now, is Desolate Lighthouse part of that cycle, or was that from a different...
That's Innistrad.
That was the Innistrad land cycle.
Okay. Oh, yeah, the enemies were Innistrad. All right.
Yep.
Makes sense, because two of my favorites are not there then.
Yeah, because there was the dimmer one, Dusk Mantle, House of something.
Yep.
That, milled somebody for one. And so most of them weren't that good, but there's... I mean, Sunholm I see play. I see.
The other one you're thinking of was in the Innistrad set, the Slayer's Stronghold.
Oh, that's
Boros tap, yep. Target creature gets +2/+0, gains Vigilance and Haste.
Okay.
Still good.
Super powerful.
Super great. It gives Haste. I'd almost prefer that over Double Strike.
Yeah, I mean, they're both really, really useful.
Right.
Unless you have a Ural coming at you and you're just like, Double Strike, rah, rah, rah.
No.
Do you play those in your that one in your Ural deck?
I play the one with haste.
The haste one?
I don't play the double strike one.
Because you don't need it.
No, really? I don't. I just need him to have haste. As many haste options as I can have, I do it.
All right. What else do we have for cool things from Ravnica? Oh. Signets.
I was going to say the greatest artifact ever that everyone plays.
Sol Ring, right. But I think if you...
What? That's legal?
If you check the EDH rec list of most frequently played artifacts, I think one is Sol Ring. I think two is Lightning Greaves. And then 10 of the next 11 or something are the Signets, I believe.
Yep. Ravnica also made one of the, I think, greatest mana-fixing artifacts ever.
Chromatic Lantern.
Love it.
Between those 11 rocks, I think every deck that's two colors runs a Signet that I have. Anything that's three colors runs a Chromatic Lantern.
Yep. I mean, I'm pretty much the same way.
The Signets are just amazing.
Unless I'm on theme like... How your Enchantress deck is like
my Enchantress deck. I don't have the Selesnya one in my Enchantress deck, but other than that, yeah, those are so, so good.
Chromatic Lantern made the top 15 on EDH rec. At 15. Sol Ring is number one, followed by six Signets, then Lightning Greaves, another Signet, and Boots. Those are your top 10 artifacts.
So everyone runs, and that makes sense. Those are all great cards, and those Signets are, they fix, they are ramp at two mana, they do everything. It's perfect.
Yeah.
We also have, speaking of rocks, like Chromatic Lantern, there's a couple other cycles of artifacts we got. We got the Key Runes, which are three mana rocks that can turn into a thing, and the Clue Stones, which are three mana rocks that you can sacrifice to draw a card.
Yep, I play all three of them, the Signets, the Key Runes, and the Clue Stone in Mogis.
Yeah, I've got some combination of them. I ran the Clue Stones in a Boros deck because you're so desperate for draw sometimes in those colors. The Key Runes oftentimes have something that's kind of weirdly on theme. So I run the Golgari one in Glissa because it makes a Death Touch guy. So do you run any of those in particular, Max, anywhere?
I run the Boros Signet in Tajik. I don't run the other two. I don't
know. Clue Stone or the Key Rune.
Are the Key Rune. Okay. Nope. My reasoning for not running out of running the Key Rune, right? Is that the one that lets you draw?
The Key Rune is the one that lets... Turns into a thing, yeah.
The reason I don't want to run the one that lets you draw is Mind's Eye, not Mind's Eye, but Mind Stone is cheaper all around.
Yeah.
Two to play, one to draw versus two to play, two to draw.
Three to play, two to draw on the... Clue Stones.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mana fix you in color.
I don't care. A lot of my creatures are one dot for color. So
that's why in Mogis, a lot of my stuff is double color.
Yep.
Either double black or double red. So I try to be on as much on color as possible.
I run more of the rocks like Thought Vessel, but the one that you can pay for to draw to
Hedron Archive,
stuff like that. So.
But they're good. I mean, those Clue Stones were great and limited. Like, they made it so much easier to run deck because you had Cool Stones and Key Runes in Return to Ravnica at the same time.
Now, I do believe in one of your first builds of Edric, you had the one that turned into a flyer, the Key Rune or
I
whatever.
Did. Yep. Yep. So, yeah, I mean, that's just a lot of stuff that they've thrown out there that's part of Commander. There's the guild mage cycle. Like, every guild had, like, a Simic guild mage and a Rakdos guild mage.
Yep.
And I don't think I run any of them, but I've seen them plenty often. And they usually do something kind of similar to what the guild does. So, like, the Simic one puts counters on something. One does damage. I mean, so they all do something very on theme. The Orzhov one has a life gain, life loss kind of component, like extort. Yep. So I've seen plenty of those in play, even though I don't run any of them either.
No, I think you have to really be a theme deck to run them.
Yeah. What else do we have? Well, Return of Ravnica, that's where Hybrid Mana came from, right? I believe.
Yes. Because Lorwyn was after.
So that's the first Hybrid Mana set where it came from. I love Hybrid Mana. I wish actually they use it more.
I really enjoy it too.
Like, I feel like that could be something like multicolored. They just do, it doesn't have to be a special set.
I don't get me wrong, I really like it. I don't like that it can constrict your deck building in EDH.
In EDH, for sure.
Because this Hybrid Mana card is really, really good, but I'm not playing a red deck.
Right.
But yeah, let's take a Biomass Mutation, for instance.
Yeah. Right.
With that green and blue, it's kind of weird because your goal in green and blue is put counters on, but you're making your guys XX is
right.
Where your mana is, and you're just like, no, this should be just one color, not both of them.
And it's a very odd ability for blue as well. Even
yep.
Technically, you could run it in blue in standard, but in Commander, you couldn't. Like, Commander, yes. that only goes in a deck with both colors.
This brings up a conversation we were having the other week at the shop, and I think this was before you showed up. Our friend Blake threw out the question. He likes to do these, like, hypothesis yep. of, like, what it costs to build this card, and his was make an overrun in blue and green, but also makes your creatures, gives them +3/+++ something and unblockable. He said, in Simic, what would it have to be costed?
Man, I mean, like, there's not that much difference between trample and unblock. I mean, there is.
Well, there is if you're giving them a +X and +X or something.
Right, like Overwhelming Stampede, no one casts in Commander. No one casts Overwhelming Stampede for 2. It's Overwhelming Stampede for 19 or something.
Yep.
And at that point, unblockable, by and large, becomes irrelevant. But if they're costing it for standard,
right?
Man, I feel like it would have to be trip mana symbols, if not 4.
My answer was it's 6 overall, 2 colorless, 2 green, 2 blue. Double green, double blue.
I could see that.
If it's going to give it, because I think his exact quote was, it's going to give him +3/+3 and unblockable. So it's going to be overrun and unblockable. So I said, okay, so double of each color and make it 6 mana, because at 5, that's too cheap.
I wonder if that would even be EDH playable. That's tough to do.
It would be.
Particularly when there's already, you know, Triumph of the Hordes and overrun and right. Overwhelming Stampede and stuff like that.
But I mean, making all your little 1/1s. 4/4 is an unblockable.
Right, and you're just going to kill it. Like,
that seems good.
Well, and that's a situation, too. We're talking about doing an Overwhelming Stampede for, you know, 19. You need to have it at 19 most of the time to get over everyone else's blockers and get the kill. Well, maybe you need the unblockable there to get the kill as well, because your creatures are only 1/1s or 2/2s that you're making bigger. So
yep.
Just buffing them by a little bit is enough when nothing is soaking up damage because they're unblockable.
Yeah.
So.
But I digress. I got off subject there.
Yes, yeah, sorry. But no, talking about Hybrid Mana, that's a kind of a good point. I wonder if they'll ever change the Hybrid Mana thing for Commander.
I doubt it.
I doubt it as
At
well.
At this point, it's gone so far that I just don't think them. They
I don't
do
think
it
there's
either.
Enough of it for them to change it.
And it would create some wonky things too. Like, I mean, maybe not that bad. Like, Beseech the Queen is then playable in any color. He's got to spend 6 mana to tutor, but I bet you'd see a lot of that in some decks.
That would definitely get jammed in any colorless deck that people could run.
Lingering
colorless
Souls?
Colorless for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't Lingering Souls Hybrid Mana?
No, it's a flashback for black.
Gotcha.
But there
you're thinking
is...
of Spectral Procession.
Yep.
Which is
hybrid colorless yep. white. Yep. Boros Reckoner in a mono white deck or a mono red deck, it would be great.
Yeah. Yeah, it would definitely impact the game, but I don't see them maybe changing it either. All right. Guild Charms popped up in Return to Ravnica. Those are huge in Commander.
They are so good.
I think I put it in my notes, so I probably can't ask you this as a trivia question, but I went and checked an EDH rec. Boros Charm is head and shoulders the most frequently played one.
Oh, yeah.
It's got. I think it's got the best abilities, followed by probably Rakdos Charm, if I had to guess.
Number two.
Is it number two? Okay. Yeah.
I actually probably should put Rakdos Charm in more decks. Because sometimes you just kill somebody with Rakdos Charm because they have a grip full of cards. They've just drawn a bunch off something disgusting. Yep. And you're just going to kill them. And hits a graveyard, too, so you can instant speed to remove someone's graveyard when they do something degenerate. That's got a lot of utility. What's the third mode? Destroy all artifacts?
Rakdos Charm is exile all cards from target player's graveyard, destroy target artifact, or each creature deals one damage to its controller.
Yep.
That's Rakdos Charm.
I said grip full of cards, but I meant a field full of tokens. Yeah. What I was thinking. So yeah, someone has made a bunch of tokens in their Simic deck or their Swesny deck, and you just kill them because they've got 19 bodies in play. So yeah, that one I should play more. The third one is It Charm.
Draws you a card.
Yep, and the fourth one is Golgari Charm.
No Azorius, really.
Did make the cut, yeah.
Azorius isn't that great in Commander.
It counters a spell, kind of isn't a soft counter, like unless I pay two or something.
But doesn't it bounce a permanent?
Two creatures you control gain lifelink, draw a card, or put attacking or blocking creature on top of its owner library.
Okay, yep, I don't like that one.
No.
That's probably decent standard at the time. But yeah, Commander, I don't think I would ever run in.
I mean, it draws you a card for two mana, but there's better options in Commander. Yeah. I mean, Charter Course is better. Opt is better. I mean...
Let's see. Ravnica gave us the first four-color cards in that Nephilim cycle in the original City of Guilds, which I don't know if I've ever seen played.
A long time ago, I think I saw someone walk into the shop with it and be like, are you okay with it as my commander? Say,
Nephilims aren't legendary.
Right.
If they would have made them legendary, you'd see a lot more play.
Yes. I'm really surprised they didn't try to errata that at some point just for that purpose.
I'm sure it's at the point now where everyone's like, hey, I want to play Nephilim as my general. And they're like, go for it. Have fun.
Right. Wait, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't
care. You don't want to play Atraxa? Okay.
Well, yeah, I suppose they did cure that now with the new ones that they came out with.
And partner and everything like that.
We also got 20 in each block, 20 two-color legends in each block, so 40 legends from Ravnica.
Love it.
Because there's a guild leader for each guild and a guild champion for each guild. Man, I can't think. I would bet I've never played a night in a game store where I didn't see a Ravnica legend atop somebody's deck.
Mm-mm.
I mean, there's some that you don't see. You don't see, Merkel Vosk, Mind Drinker, really, or like the original Rakdos or anything.
Brawl's the Scar Stripped or something like that.
But there's some that you see a ton, like Grand Arbiter's known as a like tier one that CDH players play Grand Arbiter, or Max has
Tajik, Blade of the Legion.
That was Lavinia of the Tenth. Is she a?
She's Red Hunter Ravnica. Yep. She's the guild champion because Asperia was the guild leader. Not in original Ravnica, it was Grand Arbiter was the leader and Asperia was the champion. And then I'm assuming he died because there's a pretty big time gap between those two. It's like 600 years or something. So now Asperia is the guild leader and their champion was Lavinia.
Yep.
But now we're only going to get I would assume real time. So 6 years in between or something between the two sets.
Ooh, old Aurelia, the leader of the Boros Guild.
Yeah. So a lot of the characters, because a lot got replaced between sets. That might not happen this time. We might still see some of the characters lingering around, like Gerard.
Yep.
So, yeah, there's a lot of cool legends. And a lot of them just fit in decks. Like, I've seen Varlaz in the green-black, the Sultai Sidisi deck. Or, things like that. A lot of these get played. Aurelia is really, really strong on her own as a commander. Not, busted, but,
Oh, she can be busted. Yeah.
If you know how to play that deck, it can be really effective.
Yeah, if you have the god hand, pretty much someone's going to die the moment she hits the field.
So I would imagine we're going to get another 20. We should get another 10 guild leaders and 10 champions between these next two blocks.
That's a lot of legendaries to be played right now.
Well,
between that and Dominaria.
Dominaria, yeah.
Well, maybe that's why they did all the historic
thing. It wouldn't surprise me because then you get some synergy between those two blocks. Yep. Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me at all.
I wonder if that's going to be an ongoing thing through Ravnica now, too. Is it going to be historic stuff as well?
Maybe.
Since there's so much legendary stuff within that block.
Yeah, there'll probably be more legendary matter stuff, I would think, in Ravnica. Even if they don't use historic as a keyword, I bet there'll be things that care about legends.
Are they going to finally print us a really good Niv-Mizzet.
You don't think the other two are pretty decent?
No, not really. I want one that's like Nicol Bolas broken. That's what I want.
Max shaking his head.
No.
Make him a planeswalker. Oh, he took over for Ral Zarek. That puny little human.
So since we're talking about it, what do you guys want to see from Ravnica? From the new Ravnica set? Anything in particular?
Like I said, I want to see Niv-Mizzet.
So you
want to
see a new buff Niv-Mizzet.
Yes.
For as much as I don't like the character, I would like to see a Dimir Jace.
Okay. Well, I mean, he's kind of been a jerk in the storyline. Like, I don't know if we'll get one.
Okay, I'd like to see a non-mono blue Jace. I don't care who he teams up with at this point. He is the Guild Pact. Well, yeah. Essentially. I mean, maybe.
And I would bet we do get a good Niv-Mizzet because they've been keying up the Niv-Mizzet Bolas fight a little bit. So I'm curious to see how that goes.
It would be awesome.
We'll get, I'm assuming another Asperia, so I'm pumped about that. Maybe it'll be a better commander than Supreme Judge. We'll see. But it'll probably go in the deck, so I'm looking forward to that. yeah, there's just Planeswalkers. Because we didn't have them the first time around, but in the last set, we had Ral Zarek, and he's part of the storyline because he's working for Bolas. Vraska's part of the storyline. She was in from Return to Ravnica, and she's part of the storyline because of Jace.
Gideon.
I remember everyone was sure that was going to wind up being a Boros Gideon beforehand.
Yep.
Which would have been great. They could have done that. That would have been cool.
That's my favorite Gideon. So
that one's a good Gideon, yeah.
No, the best Gideon ever. Ever, 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 ever.
Marshall Paragon.
No, Ally of Zendikar. Ally of Zendikar.
Well, yeah.
By far.
That's the best. My favorite, though, is Champion of Justice because he can build up so quickly.
He's still not that good.
Exiles all your stuff.
Bring it.
Well, we get another... who's the kid? The Gruul...
Domri Raid.
Who actually is a decent card. He just didn't get played a lot, but he's actually not a bad card.
Xenagos is better, though.
Xenagos was in the next set and was better. Right, that was part of the problem there. And he had a Jace Architect of Thought in there, too, who was no Jace the Wallet Sculptor, but Architect of Thought got a lot of play at the time.
Yeah, he did.
So, there are some pretty good Planeswalkers. So we'll clearly get more.
I would like to see a new character. So, like, we got Ral and Vraska in the last Ravnica era. I'd like to see a new character to Ravnica become a Planeswalker. Or maybe a character that's already been there and their spark ignites or something.
I would bet...
Like Niv-Mizzet.
Sure.
Yes!
My guess would be we'll get a new Ral Zarek. Because we haven't had a new one who's part of the story, so we'll get it. I would imagine we won't get Gideon and maybe not even Jace, just because we've had them so much lately. And there's enough other Planeswalkers in the story. So I could see us not getting those guys at all.
It's also going to depend on what they do for the Planeswalkers for the core set.
Right.
Because if they do their basic five and Gideon and Jace are both in there, they won't reprint either of them right away in the next block.
Right.
I would like to see a new Liliana on Ravnica.
Yeah, because we haven't heard. Well, I guess we had one in Amonkhet. Did you read the storyline this week?
No.
So she's not even on... so spoiler, because this is coming out after Vegas.
Spoilers!
She's not even on Ravnica. She didn't bounce off Dominaria with everybody else, because when she went to leave, she found out that by having killed all four of her demons, her contract didn't go away. It just passed to the broker, who was Bolas.
That's why. That's
and I bet you he knew it too.
Yes, he did. So he set her up to kill the demons so he could get control.
That's why she's in his clutches in that card.
Yes. Yep.
I get it now.
Oh, so they that's also, so good.
So they all bounced to Ravnica and they're like, "Where's Liliana?" And she's like, "I told you she was awful."
So another reason why he let her escape Amonkhet,
yes.
Because he needed her
to kill the last demon. So then her contract passes to him.
Nice. I like that. I love a good heal, so whatever.
So, I think the thing that I would find the greatest thing to happen when we go to Ravnica is where this is the final showdown with Bolas. And the one Planeswalker who is as powerful as Bolas and can defeat him shows up, who we haven't seen in...
Since Khans,
which would be Ugin the Spirit Dragon, who just up and disappeared, and you have no backstory or anything where he went.
He knows Azor.
He did pop up. He also popped up in the storyline on Battle for Zendikar because Jace went to talk to him in Ugin's Sanctum.
Yep.
But he didn't have a card, and he didn't participate in the storyline at all. And then he does know Azor, so there's that.
Yep. He was referenced in that story.
And Jace realizes he knows Azor from the stuff on
Ixalan.
So I absolutely could see Ugin showing up as well.
I bet he's in the third Ravnica set.
I could totally see that.
Which would be cool because, I mean, if what's going on right now through story is the final lead up to be on Ravnica, where the final showdown is going to be, I think that he would show up because he is the only one, I do believe, out of backstory that has the power to defeat on his own.
Yeah, I would think so. Particularly if he's had everybody else backing him up in that fight.
A Wooburg Ugin.
He goes five colors instead of colorless. That would be the only thing I wonder is having two colorless planeswalkers in standard between him and Karn.
Yeah, I don't know if he'd be colorless. Maybe he would be a multicolored player.
He unites all the guilds, becomes five colors.
That could be
hybrid
a thing too.
Hybrid 10.
Well, and as good as Ugin is as a card, what was he, 8 mana?
He was eight.
That's in standard, that's a lot versus Karn, who's just 4.
It wasn't during standard, though.
Back then, yeah, that's true. But like Karn's just 4, so you're like, I'm just playing Karn.
Unless he has a very similar abilities as what he did through the cons block, which wouldn't really play with Karn.
Yeah.
So.
Anything else we want to mention about Ravnica? It's such a good point. It's just, I'm really looking forward to this fall set. And after two really good sets in a row, after Dominaria and after Battlebond, and I even liked Ixalan a lot, even though I think I'm in the minority there, but I liked Ixalan. I think they're like on a roll.
Poor core set.
Poor core set indeed. And that should be, that's not far off.
We were actually discussing this in our LGS, and we said, for the core set to be as good as the other sets, we're going to have to see like a Rancor reprint, a Lightning Bolt reprint, that kind of stuff to make it on par with the other sets.
Did you see, I think we mentioned this, but how Counterspell almost showed up in Dominaria, making it modern legal? That would have been fascinating to see how that played out.
I could start playing Control in Modern.
I mean, I guess I wouldn't mind it too much, but
there is already, you know, good Counterspells in Modern.
Yeah, Control, I don't think Control break the format. Double blue, so guys would be on two color decks instead of three colors. But then it's just going to turn into a Dirtle Fest is what it would be.
Sure. It slows the format down a little bit.
Yeah, where guys are going to be taking games to time all the time. And people who don't know how to play Control are going to be playing Control. And there's going to be so many draws. And you're going to see some table flips and some angry people. And
you also get that effect where like Control was also really good at the start of most expansions.
Yep.
Tell everyone to figure stuff out. And throwing Counterspell into that mix on top of it is really strong too. So, okay. Man, Ravnica, I am psyched.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we'll be back, and we'll do a few of these throughout the year. This won't be a regular cycle of shows we do, but we'll come back and do another one in, you know, a month or something, month and a half, 5 months, whatever.
Yep.
We'll have a joke for you next time.
We will write a joke for you next time. If you have a particular request for a plane for us to cover on Across the Multiverse, throw it out there, and we'll take a look. Maybe we'll dig back next time and find something old, too.
Please don't choose Kamigawa, because I was joking when I said that earlier.
Except for Kamigawa. And my suggestion would be, like, A, we started with Ravnica because we're going back. Yep. And there's 6 sets to talk
about.
It's
pretty easy to discuss.
So, like, don't talk, like Chris said, Kamigawa, even cons, like, that's A, pretty recent.
Right.
And there's only 3 sets to talk about, and what are we going to talk about? The fetch lands. Done. And the dragons, I guess.
I mean, we could talk about like Lorwyn. That was super interesting story through there.
There's a lot of good stuff.
Theros Block is great for EDH, and we'll eventually get to it.
So we'll hit all of them at some point over the next 6 or 8 years we're doing this podcast. So until next episode, I'm Dana.
I'm Max.
And I'm Chris.